Let's go back. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, for one verse of Scripture. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We have indicated to you already on a previous occasion how that these are what is called the Beatitudes, or blessings that are pronounced upon individuals for various reasons. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount, which the Lord Jesus Christ has set before, or is setting before his disciples and teaching them what God expects of his people here in the world. And so consequently, he has given us various characteristics of things which he would have for one to read and to understand. So there's a blessing here that is being pronounced upon those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And so there's a need then. There seems to be an expression of the need which subsists in the lives of men and women in the world in which we live. In Psalm 84, we have a word which is before us from the psalmist says to us, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee." Selah. Think of that, is that word, or the meaning of that word, Selah. Think about this privilege of dwelling in the house of the Lord. But he is saying to us here that those that are dwelling in the house of the Lord at this particular time, the psalmist is saying, it says that the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, that she may raise her young. That's a strange expression relating to the altars of God, where there would be this kind of perhaps neglect on the part of those who had the responsibility of caring for them. But nevertheless, we find, though, that there's a lesson for us, because the Lord would say, as we read there in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness." Isn't it interesting that God uses the birds many times to teach us various lessons, various spiritual lessons about those things which pertain to our lives? In 2 Timothy chapter 1, we have the Apostle Paul writing to this young man Timothy, and he is setting before him in the opening verses of the first chapter of his second epistle, and verse 2 he talks about, "It is to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord, from God and the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." So you have three characteristics, or three benefits, maybe we should say, that are being pronounced upon by the apostle upon this young man Timothy, and one which men can claim for themselves in the world in which we live. And they are illustrated to us from Psalm 84 in the passage that we read to you. It talks about grace. Grace is offered by God for the worthless. And perhaps there is no more worthless bird on the face of the earth than a sparrow. A sparrow, the most worthless of our birds. And then he talks about, and then he speaks about mercy, well, and peace. Well, peace, of course, peace is something for the restless. And there is no bird on the face of the earth, perhaps, that is more restless than the swallow, unless it's the albatross. But the thing is, I remember as a boy seeing swallows flitting around through the countryside. And I can remember as a young man, a boy and a young man growing up in the area in which I lived, I never once saw one lit. A lit. You understand what I mean by a lit? He is perched on a limb or perched on anything. I don't remember ever once seeing a swallow sitting on anything. It was every time I ever saw a swallow, he was on the wing. And so it, as a matter of fact, I began to wonder after seeing those birds flitting through the air and around in the area so long, I used to wonder if they even had feet. And so the thing is, though, but we have this illustration here. This swallow has found in the altars of God, we're told there, he finds a place to build his nest. The most restless of birds. And then, of course, we have mercy. We have grace for the worthless. And we have peace for the restless. And there is mercy in between that. And that is, mercy is for the helpless. You see, it tells us that the swallow and the sparrow lays its young. There's nothing any more helpless than the young of a swallow or the young of a sparrow. That little creature is there as it's hatched out of its nest, or hatched out of its eggshell. He's there in the nest, and he is totally dependent upon its parents to bring him food. Absolute, totally dependent upon him. He's totally dependent on the parents to keep him warm if it's cold. Totally dependent upon that parent to protect him if danger arises. And so here is this helpless creature that is spoken of there in Psalm 84. And here Paul is talking to Timothy about that which is ministered to us, the mercy of God, mercy coming to us as helpless creatures here upon the earth. And how fitting it is to, because this describes to us something of our circumstances in the world in which we live. Man is certainly declared as far as his work in this world, his works are concerned, and those things which men pride themselves in, they're worthless in the sight of God. And so consequently, here we are, and God in his mercy, and God in his grace, he is extending himself to us, though we are characterized by the worthless creatures of the animal kingdom, by a sparrow. And then in addition to that, he is ministering not only his grace, but he ministers peace to the hearts of those who are restless. We are saved by the grace of God. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then we, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the grace of God ministering to us in our worthless condition. We have the peace of God being ministered to us in our restless condition. And then we have the mercy of God ministered to us in our helpless condition. It is according to his mercy he hath saved us. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy that we are saved. It's of the Lord's mercy that we're not all consumed. So the Lord is ministering to us, and he brings to us, he offers to us a salvation. And in this work of salvation, he is able to bestow these definite favors upon us. In the Gospels, you remember, there's this story of a man who had a desire to see the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing the little chorus about this man. Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. And he climbed up into the sycamore tree, for he wanted the Lord to see. So in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, we have a situation there where we're told how that here's the Lord is coming through Jericho, and he, as he's going into Jericho, it says, "Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich." So here is a man who is along the road, somewhere along the road, as the Lord Jesus is going through Jericho. He's traveling, and he's ultimately going to the cross. And this wee little man, he goes out before, he runs out before the Lord. He is seemingly a restless man. He's a restless man. He is a man who is he's not satisfied with the status that he is occupying. At this particular time, though he was a publican, a man of some repute and perhaps some position around the round town, he was probably a fellow to be reckoned with on a given level. But he was not satisfied within himself, and so he goes out. He's seeking to see the Lord Jesus Christ as he comes through, and his being a publican does not satisfy him, and being rich does not satisfy him. And there is an anxiousness about him. There's an anxiousness. Blessed is he that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness. It's not blessed if a man has a nonchalant attitude toward these things. And I don't believe that God ever saves an individual until they actually become anxious about their soul's condition. I think that there has to be a conviction in the heart of the individual to a given extent, so that the Lord will, so that there is a realization on the part of the individual that there is a deep need in my life. I need the Lord Jesus. This man, he's an anxiousness about him. He wants to see the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not going to be satisfied with somebody telling him, "Well, you know, Jesus came through yesterday," or "Jesus is coming through. Well, that's nice." No, he wants to go out and he wants to see him for himself. He wants to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is an anxiousness about him. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, wanting to know who the Lord is, wanting to know about the Lord. And so we see that there is this desire on his part, and he said, but he could not for the press. And the word press doesn't mean these people over from NBC. He's talking about people pressing one another. There's a crowd out there, and he's a short fellow, as we see down in the text, and he probably couldn't see over everybody. I haven't always had any problem with seeing over the crowds. Sometime now we got fellows that's getting taller than I am, but years ago I was one of the tallest fellows around. But the thing is, he was not tall enough, and he couldn't see over the crowd. So there was a desire on his part, and he had a difficulty that he had to overcome. But he was not going to be overwhelmed by the difficulty that he was experiencing. And so he sought to see Jesus, who he was, but he could not for the press because he was a little in stature. You know, it's nice how, and you see it says that he was little in stature. He was short. And so consequently, he was not a tall. We've got our word that we use now. He was height challenged. That's the word we have to use in our culture nowadays. He was height challenged. But anyway, this was Zacchaeus. And so what does he do then in verse 4? He says, and he ran before the Lord, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. So he climbs up. He goes up. And there are people who try to go up so that they can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to go up. I want to be promoted up, and I want to have this high position so that I will be somebody, or I will be seen, or I will be recognized. I know that's not the teaching of what is in that passage, but I'm using it as an application. And so he goes up and he climbs that tree. And so there is an earnestness about him. You imagine a fellow who, could you imagine my running down the streets and climbing up the tree to see somebody? You'd be surprised if you saw that, wouldn't you? I'd be surprised if I did it. And the tree would almost be surprised. Clumsy I am, it wouldn't be safe for me to go up the tree. But the thing is, there's an anxiousness about him. And he's not going to be satisfied. And there's a thirsting, there's a hunger, there's a desire in his life. And he knows that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who is able to meet that particular need. And then he goes on to say, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. The Lord always brings us down, doesn't he? And the Lord just simply spoke to this man, you come down. Don't exalt yourself if you want to come into the presence of the Lord, if you want the blessing of the Lord. You come down. In this case, you come down to where he was. He had to come down to where the Lord was. You see, we never get too low for the Lord. Sometimes we get too high. And so the Lord has to call us down sometime. And then he goes on to say, for today I must abide at thy house. And what is his response? You see, the Lord calls us. And it may be that you're in the room tonight and the Lord is calling you to himself. Maybe he's been calling you for some time. You know that the Lord is calling you to himself. And if the Lord is calling you, you have a choice. He gives you a choice. You can do like Zacchaeus, and he says he made haste and he came down. Well, that was a place of blessing. Up the tree was not the place of blessing. And so he comes down. And he comes down to where the Lord Jesus is. And then he says he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. Then verse 7 it says, and it says that when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest of the man who is a sinner. Isn't that something? They're complaining because the Lord is ministering to sinners or associating with sinners in this world. If the Lord hadn't associated with sinners and ministered to sinners, not a sinner would have ever been saved. He came to where we were. He came to us. And he has, God hath made him to be sin for us, the scriptures tell us. And so he has come into this world. And so then in verse 8, Zacchaeus stood. This is interesting now. And he said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now, I don't know how you interpret that verse. I'm going to tell you how I interpret that verse. Now, if you disagree with me and you've got a different interpretation on it, well, that's okay with me. I believe that Zacchaeus is telling the Lord that this is the manner of life. This is his practice in his life. What does he say? Behold, I give half of my goods to the poor. Half of what I get, apparently, half of them I get to the poor. And if I take anything by false means, I restore unto him fourfold. Have you ever met a man like that? Have you ever met a man like that who had never met the Lord before? I believe that this is exactly what Zacchaeus is telling the Lord. Now, if you want to believe that this is what he says, I am going to do, well, you go right ahead. And I've heard people say that the reason Zacchaeus was so rich, he was a crook. Well, you didn't hear me say that. I don't want to have to apologize when I get to heaven and I meet Zacchaeus. I don't want to have to apologize to him for calling him a crook. So I'm not going to call him one. It seems, to my mind, Zacchaeus is saying that I have lived an honorable life. Now, that's what it seems to me. I'm not pressing the point any further. But the Lord Jesus responded to him and said, This day is salvation come into this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. Abraham was a man that walked by faith. Abraham was a man that could look at Lot and tell him, You go and you take one direction and I'll go in the other direction. I'll have whatever you, I'll give you the advantage. You have the advantage in everything. But Zacchaeus had never met the Lord. But he comes and he receives salvation when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into his life. You may be a good man. You may be a benevolent man. You may be a gracious man. You may be a very liberal man, but if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need the salvation which he himself is able to provide for you. Being good and doing good is not enough. Salvation comes. Regeneration. Blessed is he that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This man received the Lord Jesus Christ into his life, into his house, and he was filled because the Lord said, This day is salvation come into thine house. If you're here without Christ, let this be the night that you invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your life and into your house and into your home. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful this evening for your word, thankful for your grace, we're thankful for your mercy, and thankful for the peace that you're able to give to men and women. And we pray, O God, that if there's those in the room tonight who have never trusted the Savior, may they do so for their own benefit and for our enjoyment and for thy glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.